When I walked into the Grove today, I got to thinking that there possibly could be a few of us who might occasionally tend to forget the wonderful thrill we experienced that first encampment day. I hope I never shall. You see, I'd been living in New York about 20 years or so, and every summer, many of my friends would pack their gear and go out to California to a place they called the Grove. They talked so much about it. For many years, I strove to get an invitation to see it for myself while I still had time and energy and a fair degree of health. And one year, I finally made it. Don't think I'll ever be the same. 2 weeks in the woods with 1,000 men and not a single dame. Oh, yes, there's Monte Rio, which we never talk about. Matter of fact, anything that went on outside the Grove, to me, was definitely out. Now, getting this invitation wasn't too easy a trick, but I'm so glad I've been there. Now I know what makes it tick, and I'd like to tell you about it in my own but simple way. And there's so much, I think I'll just take parts of the very first day. I was told to be at the club on Friday, a little afternoon, to have a bite, and of course some drinks in that famous cartoon room. Well, after one or two, I sort of expected to go up to lunch. But when they ordered another round, I sort of had a hunch that eating was unimportant on this first encampment day. So I might just as well relax and let come what may. Well, presently we found our bags and got into a car and crossed the bridge and suddenly stopped at a place called Marville Moor. It's a sort of a roadhouse with a jukebox bar and all and a Marilyn Monroe calendar hanging on the wall. We shook for a drink and had a toasted sandwich at the bar and paid the check and washed our hands and got back in the car. Then we started to roll along. I thought we'd be there soon, but oh no, we had to stop at Petaluma's Redwood Room. Well, it didn't take too long, and soon we were on our way down through lovely valleys with farms and fields of hay. Oh, it was beautiful country. I don't know how far we drove, but suddenly I saw a sign that said, Half Mile Bohemian Grove. So we made the turn and went along, came downhill to a gate, and when I saw that sea of cars, I was sure we must be late until I was told there were many members still quite far behind us, a couple of them probably stopping along to see if they could find us. Well, we checked our bags, and it was suggested that we walk a little way, and I, of course, was delighted. It was such a warm and sunny day. So we started out, and suddenly I found myself actually in the Grove. And I stopped a moment and thought back over all the years that I'd hoped to make this moment possible when I would finally be here. And I was so happy about it. I guess I could have shed a tear at the quiet and the beauty, that wonderful smell of burning wood and those age-old priceless redwood trees, which for centuries have stood looking down on this peaceful scene and guarding it so well. And if those wise old trees could talk, oh, the tales they'd tell of laughter and companionship, of music and good cheer, of bright and friendly campfires, of nights so cool and clear, of noonday talks beside the lake, of sunlight on the trees, or music from some far distant camp, gently wafted on the breeze. Well, I'd better rejoin my friends before they get too far, and as I catch up, they're approaching what they call the campfire bar. There's a group standing around, comfortable, relaxed, and happy, listening to a tale told by a friend that they call Pappy. I was immediately introduced and quickly given a drink, and as I stood there quietly listening, I couldn't help but think of all the friends that I had who were so far, far away, who would give their soul to be here with me this first encampment day. Well, being my first time in the Grove, I thought I should get to my camp. I'd located it on the map, but it looked like a bit of a tramp, and my friend said, oh, relax, take it easy, don't get in a fuss. We'll have just one drink for the road, and then we'll take a bus. Well, sure enough, one came along, and most of us piled in. There was quite a crowd aboard, and it was lucky I was thin. We bumped our way along up the hill, and they let me off at my gate. I walked quickly into camp, hoping I wasn't late. There were a group sitting around, some playing dominoes, a couple pounding a piano, and one guy squirting a hose. The camp captain jumped up and introduced himself and presented me to the group and inquired about my health. Then he suggested I find my bags, get settled, and take a shower, because it wouldn't be too long before the evening cocktail hour. So I changed my clothes and came down and made myself a drink and watched the last rays of the setting sun turn all the sky so pink. Oh, it was wonderfully cozy there sitting by the fire, and I could hear my friends in New York saying, "Why, you silly damned old liar, a fire in July, you say? Have you really lost your head? The next thing you'll be telling us, you slept with blankets on your bed." Well, the camp captain suggested we better drink up and go and down and have some dinner and see the campfire show. So we walked slowly down the hill. It was a beautiful night, and below me was the dining circle. An unbelievable sight with those countless rows of happy faces reflected in the light of 1,000 tiny little flames, all sparkling in the breeze and casting dancing shadows on the tall green trees. Laughter, greetings, singing, glasses raised on high, a picture no artist could paint. He shouldn't even try. Well, after dinner was over, we sauntered down through the trees, and they showed me Diana's statue, so graceful on her knees. Then we reached the campfire circle and stretched out on the ground, and the orchestra was tuning up, to me a wonderful sound, and I lay on my back and watched the sparks go drifting to the sky. I think I could have gone to sleep without too hard a try. Then there were some announcements about Perry's Rim Ride, Professor Fritz's lecture, some talk at the lakeside. And then the music began to play and echoed through the trees. And the lights came up and the show was on. They called it Scattered Leaves. I couldn't quite believe it as I lay there by the fire. It was all so easily, simply done by this man they call a sire. Well, after the show was over, he walked across to the bar and met some friends and had a drink. I bought a club cigar. Then we thought we'd go visiting down the river road and tried to catch a ride on a bus, but it had too heavy a load. So we started to hoof it. It wasn't much of a tramp. We were heading for an insignificant, unheard of, simple little spot. They call it by name Wolf Camp. When we walked in, of course, all the grove was gathered around the fire, listening to a tale told by the camp's own personal sire. His name, of course, Roy Folger, and he's a wonderful old goat with his straw hat and his bow tie and his long dark overcoat. He was telling us a tale of Bohemia that happened long ago when he had a lead in a grove play and nearly wrecked the show. But I shall always cherish the memory of that first encampment day. Good night, Roy. We'll see you next year.